You are now tuned in to the New Old Heads podcast, brought to you by BringingDownTheBand.com, No Bad Ideas, Coleman Dental, and Printfinity. I am Major Seventh. I make beats and I have the t-shirts to prove it. And sitting straight ahead is the one and only Longevity.
Hello.
How are you, sir?
I'm okay.
All right. Good to hear that.
Yep.
Caddy Corner. We're going to call it Caddy Corner. DJ J Diff.
Salutations.
How you doing, man? You all right?
I'm good, man.
Good.
You got weather's good. Nice. It's fall.
You got a gloated for some reason today, brother.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, you look positive is what I'm saying.
Word?
Yeah.
You got it.
That's what's up. I took a shower.
I was trying to give you props. You was like, I don't want. That's what is
not,
a glow?
No, not that. That wasn't at all.
I want you to be positive, man.
You're completely like overstanding me right now.
No, I'm not.
You're not understanding me. You're overstanding me.
Oh, you a rapper now?
You wouldn't understand if you stood under it.
Bars. And to my side eye. That's what I'm going to start calling to my side eye. The incomparable DJ Spools.
Hello, Michael.
How are you, sir?
Doing well. How are you?
I can't complain, man. I got to get adjusted to saying, how are you, sir, and doing that.
How's that? I hope it goes well, the adjustment.
Yeah.
It seems major.
We'll work through it, Bradley.
Yeah. Good luck, man.
Thank you, sir.
If I can help in any way.
We'll talk about it off air.
Let me know.
Yep. Episode 48. Okay. I do not have any numbers. I'm not going to lie. I don't have anything
right.
for 48.
Jimmy Johnson, the NASCAR driver.
Jimmy Johnson. He was a beast.
And then Daryl Johnston.
Moose. I think Jimmy Johnson was more dominant.
He was very dominant.
He pretty much bodied NASCAR, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Walt Gilmore for the Trailblazers.
Nah.
And then Nazi Muhammad for the Bulls.
Hell no. Jimmy Johnson, I think I can rock with that.
Yeah.
Y'all good with that?
Yeah.
Long, you got one?
Nah, I ain't got none.
Def, we good with Jimmy Johnson? You don't care?
Nah.
Okay.
I'm definitely not a fan of, like, I don't dislike racing. I just never got into it, really.
Mm-hmm.
I want to go fast, Kyle.
I've been to a couple of NASCAR events, not here, but in Illinois and Chicago. Well, Joliet.
I've been to quite a few.
Actually being at the race, it's fun.
I've never been.
The first lap when they come around and, like, the whole place just kind of shakes.
Yeah.
It's just kind of a cool thing as, like, a sports fan in general.
That's probably dope. But
yeah, I went to the first, like, 5 Brickyards.
Yeah.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, my dad was and family was big fans. I liked it. I was a big fan for a while when I was younger. But sporting events, though, I mean, it is the smaller the track, too,
mm-hmm.
the more energy. It's kind of crazy. But even, like, drag racing.
Yeah.
If you've never witnessed that, like, the power those cars have is amazing.
Wasn't racing kind of big in Anderson? I saw that.
Yeah.
Did you ever watch that documentary that I found?
Yeah, I did.
Anderson Speedway.
Yeah.
Yep. Did you see it?
Yeah, I didn't see the doc. I always heard about it. I've never taken the time to actually watch it, but
it's good.
Everybody says it's pretty cool. Like, I've never been to a race there, but my aunt's house is. I've never been. My aunt's house is, like, right across the way from that.
It's cool. I used to go. My grandfather was big into it, so we used to go back in the pits and.
Yeah,
that's cool.
He was big into sprint car racing, so. Every time there was, like, a big underground sprint car racer in town, he'd be like, you know,
yeah.
I would pay attention to it. Or my dad would come down. That's what we would do. So, like, I've seen Tony Stewart there, I believe, and Jason Leffler and stuff like that.
I can remember as a kid driving by that place and just seeing it filled to the brim. You can hear, you know, you can still hear the cars going around and stuff. So,
Is it still up?
Yeah, it's still up. Yeah, they still have races there, too. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, shout out to Anderson Speedway.
So I actually only went to the. You guys ever been to the Indy 500?
I have not, and I feel bad because I haven't.
I've went once.
You should feel worse about not going to Anderson Speedway.
I've been to Carb Day.
Seriously,
because it's like $10 to get in or something.
I'm not a race person. I got to do better.
Yeah. You ever been to the 500?
No, yeah,
I only went once.
My brother's been. My grandfather went, I think, 50 years in a row or something.
Really? Yeah.
So yeah, he used to. He used to trick everybody with a fake press pass and go back in the pits and stuff.
Nice.
Oh, for real?
Oh, yeah. Back when you could do that.
Awesome.
That's what's up, man.
So
I'm sure there were crazy. I'm sure there were crazy
either,
stories associated with
that. Either
fake
press pass or he maneuvered his way to be able to act like he was press. Yeah. So yeah.
My dad went 1 year. My uncle, shout out to my uncle Tom, out in Pittsburgh, but he's awesome. Actually, he's amazing. But
Jeff Gordon.
He called my dad. This is in the 80s, and my uncle knew a lot of firefighters.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
And he was like, hey, man, like, it was literally like the morning of the race, like very early. He was like, hey, I got an opportunity. You want to come to the race with me? And my dad was like, all right, cool. It's like 6 in the morning. So they get, and they end up sitting on the back of the fire trucks that are like kind of up against the, basically the wall on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
So like my dad said, they were so close that there were like little pieces of rubber all over his body.
Oh, yeah.
From being that
damn
close to the track, from it flying off the tires as they would come around.
Yeah.
That's so pretty wild, man.
It's an intense thing.
My experience was not that cool.
Watching,
it was cool after the race. We had real faded.
It's a good it's a good event. Like yeah, watching, like even watching the Brickyard is just kind of like, all right, this is cool. Just because the track's so big.
Mm-hmm.
So like you got to wait for the cars to come around. So there's like, it's weird because there's like dead space.
It's like, I mean, it's a 2 mile track, right?
Two and a half. Yeah. But yeah, it's cool. It's a sporting event.
I played the golf course once. It's hard. It's extremely difficult.
Is it?
Yes.
I heard the greens fees are ridiculous.
Yeah, it's expensive, man. Hmm. Got some passes or something somehow.
Yeah. Played, yeah.
Shout out to Spools being plugged here.
No.
Yeah.
No.
It's all good, brother. Episode 48, we're going to call this the Jimmy Johnson episode. Well, I guess it's that time again. We've avoided this for, wait a minute, before I go too far. We didn't do it last week.
Yeah, we did.
Did we do it last week?
Yes.
We have for a while.
The circus never leaves.
The circus never seems to leave, and it never seems to leave our wonderful show here. So.
And we're not talking about it.
At all.
But we are talking about it.
I like that's wordplay.
Yeah.
That's a skill set, sir. That's wordplay.
I like that.
I need to be a rapper, man. I'm telling you, we need to get some beats.
Yeah.
From you.
Uh-huh.
From Shine.
Uh-huh.
From Ill Brown.
Uh-huh.
We gonna find somebody to write for me because that's the thing to do right now.
I'll write for you, man.
Oh yeah, can you rap?
No.
So well.
Shit, no, man.
Appreciate it.
I might have a Bad Baby write for me.
No. Yeah. I don't know if I could see you doing her lyrics.
Yeah, there's no way.
That's not going to
said write for you.
Yeah.
Listen,
no, somebody's writing for her.
Qualified.
I'm going to get Quentin Miller. That's what I'm going to do.
Now, if you get Quentin Miller, we can get you out there in them streets.
Yeah.
And get you some beats with some filters on the hook. And, you know what I'm saying? We can get you in the club.
Cool. Let's do that.
Maybe we'll do that later. Y'all start sending beats in to the Bringing Down the Band.
Man.
Don't.
Well, the head gentleman from Ring Down the Band says, do not send
that
DJ
was vetoed quickly.
So much for your album, fam.
It's gonna happen.
He don't need beats from anybody else, though.
He doesn't?
I mean, we already started with the cocaine joint, right?
Oh, that's right. We did do the cocaine joint before we went on.
It's going down.
Yeah, we got that work, apparently.
Yeah.
We had a whole song.
Mm-hmm. So we killed it.
We got the Code Like Minnesota. Where I'm featured on the
you can do the remix
on the hook.
Yep.
Yeah, you can actually do just a 16 now.
I got an ad lib.
Yeah,
you can just take me off of it completely.
Yeah, you can do a full. You can do 2 16s.
Yeah. 2 16s.
Cut him out.
Okay.
15s.
Yeah.
Let's make
or
that
15s.
Happen.
Yes.
15s in one bar of just mumbling.
Get this
just
paper.
Just so they can understand.
Get this paper, man. Might even create a dance to go with it too.
Oh, it'll really pop.
Get
in
a dance. Yeah. Make a dance
again.
No, man.
Yeah, that's what works nowadays.
Well, we're going to leave it
not
at that.
Not saying it don't.
We'll mess around and have, we'll mess around and talk about this long enough to get a track list for his album. the president says NFL owners should fire the sons of bitches that are anthem protesters.
First this is his favorite thing to say. Let's fire this person. Fire that person.
Fire him.
Fire him.
Yeah.
So there's many.
He's already fired a lot of people. Yeah, it's just, like, you know what's funny is before he became president, I was like, it's not like you're just going to come in here and just like fire people. That's exactly what he's done.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was wrong.
He wants everybody else to follow suit. Yeah.
It's like a carousel at the White
House. I'm out here firing people, so y'all need to be firing people too.
Yeah.
You're fired.
You're fired. Anyway, man, at this point, we've always said we're not shocked. It's more, it's becoming like a reality show now. I think there are multiple angles. There's multiple ways that we can talk about this, in terms of the owner's relationships and how they're definitely contradicting themselves. How this has nothing to do with Colin Kaepernick's original stance. Ray Lewis, his goof ass.
Coward.
Shout out to Shannon Sharp, too. Shannon Sharp was out there giving us what we need.
So did, what's that guy on SportsCenter? His name's like Nick something or other.
Oh, Nick Wright is on Fox. He's on Fox. Hey,
Nick, okay, yeah.
He broke it down. Nick, probably the best.
That's the best I've seen.
Popovich did, too.
Pop did, too. Yeah.
Pop, the thing that's dope about Nick Wright and Pop is they were actually in front of a microphone speaking instead of just tweeting or, you know, just going off the barrel head on Twitter.
Yeah.
These guys, you could actually see them and see that they were dead serious about their comments. But I'm going to come to Lone first. Lone, what are your thoughts on the president's comments and how this thing has spiraled uncontrollably into something that has nothing to do with the original stance from Kaepernick?
Well,
I know it's a loaded question.
But yeah. Well, it's just what you said. Trump's comments are something of a deflection.
Yep.
I don't know if that's intentional or not. I'm not going to say it is or isn't. I don't know. But one thing that it absolutely did was deflect from the actual point. So, and it changed the narrative.
Yep.
Which maybe that was the point. Maybe it wasn't. I don't know. When you factor in NFL owners and the nonsense that, you know, that they're doing, locking arms and fake kneeling, but still being Trump supporters, obviously, Jimmy Jones and all that. Is that his name? Jerry Jones?
Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
Robert Kraft.
Kraft, yeah, you know.
These are guys that have donated millions of dollars to Trump's campaign prior to him being elected.
So I'll just say this. It attempts to change the narrative, which is not what should be happening. So the issue is police brutality and racial injustice.
Right.
Colin Kaepernick spoke out about that many times. When I say spoke out, I mean tried to clarify it many times.
Yes.
And now all of a sudden you see on news tickers, if you watch TV and stuff like that, you know, NFL protests about the flag, about the anthem, about the anthem. It's not about the anthem.
It has nothing to do with the anthem.
so.
it's
hard to figure out where I'm going to steer this. But what I'll say is that, one, the original protest, which Terry and I were talking about right before we went on, the original protest, you know, Colin Kaepernick originally sat down. That was his protest.
Yes.
Then he had a conversation with a Marine, and he said it would be
Navy
better.
Seal.
Navy SEAL?
Yeah.
Okay. Navy SEAL. Sorry. Had a conversation with a Navy SEAL, somebody of the military, and he said it would be better if you kneeled instead of did this. He did that. He's followed up his word consecutively over and over again by contributing to what all has he done? I mean,
he's done endless things. He's contributed to the homeless as far as clothing them for jobs or whatnot.
He donated millions of dollars to some organization.
Yeah, I'm not even sure close exactly.
To a million.
Yeah.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
He donated sneakers. That goes kind of along with the clothing.
Yeah. So I guess, and then, you know, this happens and it tries to attempt to change the narrative away from the issue. So I don't necessarily even want to get into the false narrative, really.
Right.
You know, I mean, we can touch on it, but it's a distraction and it's, you know, it's unfortunate. Here's what I will say as well. It has brought out another section of white America.
Oh, yes.
So I think that's probably why it's worth talking about. But I don't want to get it lost in the sauce. You know, like, the issue is racial injustice and police brutality.
Mm-hmm.
These are completely separate issues that we will be talking about.
True. Mm-hmm. Spools to that, you say what?
I agree with what Lone said. I think to a degree it's always been masked in the flag.
Mm-hmm.
since the beginning it has been. You know, it's disrespectful to the flag. It's disrespectful to the flag, you know. Despite what Sean said, despite this guy meeting with, like, you know, a former NFL player and a former Navy SEAL and discussing it with him, the best way to do it. What did Trump say? Locking arms. He was okay with that while standing, but not okay. So we finally, guys, figured out the right way to protest.
Yes.
According to Donald Trump.
Is to lock arms.
Locking arms during the national anthem.
He's been seen on multiple photographs.
Good to know. We've been seeking that answer out for a while. So
glad we got his approval.
Yeah. Without his hand over his heart for the national anthem.
I'm being very sarcastic, by the way. So yeah. No, man. It's we've talked about this in the past too. I'm not a overly patriotic or very patriotic person. That's not to say I'm not proud of the United States or love living in the United States by any means, but I'm just not a patriotic person like that. I think
Fair enough.
Nationalism, not my thing.
No.
blind faith patriotism. To me, it's almost a little strange. And I don't mean strange, what's strange to me is how many different interpretations of the right way to be patriotic there seemingly are as well. I think the right way to be patriotic is to, you know, at times and when necessary, be critical of what's going on in your country and to make things better. I think that's a part of it.
Well said.
You know, and, you know, for people that say it disrespects the men and women who have died, they didn't die for that flag necessarily. It's just a symbol. It's a symbol.
Right.
And I understand it's a very important symbol, and it is to me to a degree, and I know a lot more important to other people, but it's, you know, they're not,
people?
Over and over and over again, they're not disrespecting the people who have fought or who have died for the freedoms, but, you know, it doesn't seem to matter. And in my mind, that patriotism or that nationalism for this certain group of white people that we've talked about a lot on this show before seems to trump racial justice and social equality, and that's unfortunate.
Yeah. I agree. Div, you got anything on that one?
Yeah, I got a lot on
Jump
it.
Jump in, brother.
It's just crazy that we have to keep talking about this same thing over and over.
Yep.
And that so many people still don't get it.
Oh, we got
and it
a
doesn't
story.
Matter how many times or how you explain it.
Yeah.
You can put it in a Cat in the Hat book. You can make a Cat in the Hat rhyme about it.
Yeah.
Make it as simple as possible, and they'll still change it to make it to where they can be angry about something.
Agreed.
And I'm not understanding why it's so hard to grasp. For example, as far as the whole what happened over the weekend with the NFL. It has absolutely nothing to do with Colin Kaepernick. I mean, they did all of that. Colin still doesn't have a job.
True.
You know, all that was about was a bunch of billionaires saying that this guy is not going to dictate how I make my money.
That's absolutely right.
So they decided to say, well, we'll do a little protest, you know, to show him that we're still going to get paid regardless. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, it was damage control for the NFL because people aren't paying attention to the NFL like they used to. It's obvious.
Yep.
They've been saying that the ratings are down. They're way down. They're trying to figure out any way to get people to start watching the NFL again at this point. They're getting desperate. And during this desperate measure, they've gotten the white Americans that are super patriotic, so to speak, thinking that it's still about the flag. I've seen so many people on Facebook saying, well, that's it. I'm not watching another game. They had the guy that burnt all his jerseys up.
I laughed out loud when I watched that.
I mean,
that was ridiculous.
You paid for those jerseys, so it doesn't matter.
The guy that burnt all his tickets.
He burnt his season tickets. You've already paid for those tickets.
You know,
so what are you doing?
You know what we call him.
Yeah.
He's a clown.
Yeah, he's definitely a clown. They're all clowns because you're making it about, you're missing the whole narrative of what it was about in the first place.
A little late.
Clown.
Yeah.
He's a clown.
Missing the whole point, though. It's like they try to make it fit what they want it to be.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
It doesn't matter if I tell you what Lone explained,
right,
that it's about the injustices that happen,
yep,
to black and brown people in the United States. Not to mention that Puerto Rico got hit with a hurricane.
Wow.
They're not even supposed to have water, not water, but electricity for like 6 months.
Wow.
We're not talking about that.
At all.
We're talking about football.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
We're talking about that $700 billion military budget either. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very true.
It's,
as well.
It's just, I'm just not understanding. And, man.
You know, I had somebody to tell, somebody told me, man, these billionaires don't care about you guys not watching the games, and these billionaires don't care about this and that. I said, sir, billionaires care about the bottom line.
Yeah.
And the reason that they're on the ground, they're kneeling now and acting like they're part of a cause that they don't even know what they're kneeling for, is because somebody threatened the possibility of their bottom line being affected.
Yeah.
Because say what you want, Trump saying, if I was you guys, I'd just turn the TV off, affects the bottom line.
Mm-hmm.
Period. It has nothing to do with Kaepernick.
Nah.
It has nothing to do with that.
Mind you, Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys kneeled before the anthem actually
that
even
played.
That
picture is very misleading.
It's very misleading because it's trying to paint a whole nother narrative when that's not what happened.
It's nowhere near what happened. When I first saw it, they almost got me, but I was like, nah, there has to be a catch to this. There has to be a catch to him kneeling. And then I read a little further, did a little more research, information. And shout out to Carlo. You got some information there.
What's up, Kenny?
It's like, nah, this was prior to the anthem. So it all goes back to what Shannon Sharpe always says on Undisputed. We are talking about people that are infatuated and will do anything to protect the shield and the bottom line.
And Ray Lewis. What did Ray Lewis say? He would never.
I'll never kneel. I'll never kneel. I love this country and blah, 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 blah.
He didn't even know how to kneel. He was down on both legs, both knees.
And to Ray Lewis, who I would consider at this point, for his actions, not his career, he's a clown.
Definitely a clown.
He looked so stupid on both knees down there. Because I'm like,
dumb.
you had the audacity to say, Colin Kaepernick, you need to watch how you act, man, and cut your hair and blah, 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 blah.
Qualified.
He's not. You need to watch how you do this and tiptoe and eggshells and all that. Be careful, brother. This is taken away from the real goal. And then you turn right around and get on both knees for this because Trump said something about NFL.
What about Roethlisberger, though?
I didn't see his, so enlighten me on that.
Because, you know, none of the Steelers, I think maybe one of the Steelers came out of the
who was a veteran,
tunnel.
By the way? He said he was a veteran.
Mm-hmm. Came out of the tunnel during the national anthem being played.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Roethlisberger says that it's not sitting right with him that he didn't do it.
Mm.
But raping women sat right with him.
Well, you better talk that talk. You better talk that
talk.
No, because
he had more than one offense, right?
Multiple
offenses. Mm. He's got a burger named after him in Pittsburgh.
Hey, man.
I've heard stories from people that I know about him.
Yeah.
Mm.
Those are just personal stories. But
yeah. But yeah, that didn't sit right with him.
Ohio, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That didn't sit right with
him.
The MAC conference.
Yeah, shout out to the MAC. MAC product.
Notre Dame is about to blow away Miami of Ohio's football team this Saturday. But,
as they should, Brad. Yeah. Like, as they should.
Just wanted to throw that in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is crazy, man. Like, the hypocrisy with the owners, bro, is like, I'm just amazed at this point. I'm truly amazed. And it's just funny because everything is about that. What's that? OJ is about that almighty dollar. That's what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
Spools.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's now been like diverted to, like you guys were saying before, from the original cause. And I hope it gets back on track. You know, people, you see some of these folks' comments about it. And it was more about them, like the president being a jerk, than it was about
standing
with
anything else.
Know, but maybe that will still, at the end of the day, like get people to
maybe.
I don't think
that's
so.
Hoping
big,
for something positive for it to, you know, continue to grow.
I appreciate that stance, but that's a big maybe.
I think what comes out of it.
You know, I'm a hopefulist and I'm a realist, though. So,
I respect
you know,
that. Like, yeah, I respect that.
I think what comes out of it is conversation, though. And I think that's that's a big, the big plus to when I have conversations with people and they say, well, pick a better way to protest, right? That's that's one of the fancy ones. Yeah. And then I ask,
it's fucking fancy. Yeah.
And then I say, okay, so what is a better way to protest that is going to invoke the same amount of attention and that fits your standards of protesting? And I've yet to have anybody give me a good answer.
You won't. Nobody understands the point
of
a protest.
Actually, let me rephrase that. I've yet to get any answer for that.
Let alone a good answer.
Here's the thing about that, too, when you ask folks that, because that shit pisses, that gets to me, too, and it has gotten to me throughout all this. We've talked about it in the past, right? So these same folks that say that and feel that way, or at least believe they feel that way, if there was a cause close to them, none of that shit would matter anymore. They would protest exactly. Well, I'm allowed to do this. Just like this just doesn't matter to them.
There was a James Baldwin was speaking on something back in the '60s, and it says, "You know the phrase, give me liberty or give me death."
Yep.
All right. Why do people interpret that one way? But why is something? Well, let's just go this. Why is something like by any means necessary, which is kind of the same thing,
right? Mm-hmm.
Why is that looked at differently as give me liberty or give me death? And the answer is very, very simple.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's blatant.
You know what's unfortunate about that, too, is that quote is obviously attributed to Malcolm X, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I think they use that quote to make him look, because I've read his book once, twice maybe. Malcolm X was the truth, man.
Period.
Yeah, he was.
So, but they did try to use, that against, against him in a way to make him look bad or more dangerous or violent
or less American.
Like that. Yeah.
Perception is everything, man. When it's spun a certain way.
And there's nothing wrong. I mean, don't get me wrong, man. That's cool. You should, if you want to be proud to be an American, that's great. You know, we've talked about this too a lot in the past. Is like, just the realer look the realer you look at America and its history.
Yep.
To be proud to be an American, you have to want to have some change, I feel like,
Yeah.
No, they want it to be great again, which it never was. And it's
That's such a misleading
It's
quote,
so
man.
Misleading and I'm still seeing people say that they never heard or seen racism until President Obama took office.
Yeah.
But the racism was coming from your fellow people.
It's not something that you would see unless it was really pointed out to you.
A quote I saw
from white people's perspectives.
Yeah,
and I can't see an eye.
Hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
Well, you actually kind of twice now gave me the perfect segue into what you and we had a very, I want to say, I don't want to say uncomfortable, but I had a enlightening experience, and this was actually yesterday we did this. It was late.
I mean, this was you. I was just there.
Well, I mean, he came along, but one of my friends, a good friend of mine, named Corey, put a post up, and it had a picture that was pertaining to some of the older sit-ins. You know, so it had a picture of black people sitting at a countertop, and the
white people just pouring stuff on them.
So
the peaceful protest.
Peaceful protest. So this spun.
I don't know why I did quotes, because it was a peaceful protest.
Right, right.
And probably in reference to this is also a peaceful protest.
Yes.
Yeah. So being sprayed with water, that was a peaceful protest too, right?
Well,
hey.
Well, that's you mean the response to the peaceful protest?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But I say that to say. So this post kind of goes left field. I'm talking about way left. It turns into sub conversations amongst the main posts. But I was telling, I called Lone last night because Corey's a mutual friend of ours, so he kind of came in and chimed in. I was talking to a young lady. She's a white lady, probably about the same age, give or take. And I was absolutely amazed because I've heard Lone allude to what we talk about or what we say in terms of white privilege or how people that are white perceive certain things.
Mm-hmm. Well, we just talked about it. Literally the weekend.
We were in Chicago. We talked about that.
Like, often.
Often, so. Yeah. So, and the thing about that is I've always deferred to you all because I have to take your word for it because that's something that you would have more information about than I would.
Information.
We see you, DiCarlo. But I say that to say, this is my first time actually experiencing that,
You mean engaging?
Engaging and I'm talking about like engaging back and forth. Yeah.
Right.
Good point. Engaging with that and going back and forth with someone. And I was absolutely blown away and amazed that this young lady, for example, she's Caucasian. She dated an African-American man about 10 years or so, I believe, from what I read. Mm-hmm. And there was some way that she tried to weave that into being able to understand and relate to racial injustices that black people go by.
Right.
By her dating an African-American man. Mm-hmm. She's like, yeah, I lost a job before. And yeah, we've received death threats before. And yeah, we've gone through this and that and had arguments out in public and this and that. And I'm like, sweetie, that is not racism.
Right.
That is not racism. And I say that to say, and I always tell people this. Well, I've said this and I will continue to say it. Anybody that thinks those things, as a white person, that can look me in my face and tell me that those things equate to racial injustice or racism, I can't take those comments seriously.
You know why people say that, though?
Well, they're confused.
They're confused, and we're in a time right now where they want to flip things all the time. Everybody wants someone to be racist towards them.
Right.
So whenever somebody black says something, oh, you're playing the race card.
Every time.
It's like.
Every single time.
It is about race, though, a lot of the times. But you're afraid to tackle it. That's the whole point of like protests. They're uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. So that's what makes them kind of shun and kind of spill out. But they're doing the wrong thing. They don't have an idea of what they're talking about. And when they start talking, they just dig the hole deeper and deeper and deeper. Yeah, until they just want to go away and not say anything about it. And that's what Sean said was.
Well, what you just said was it went from white guilt
yep.
into white privilege.
Exactly.
And, you know, you feel guilty. You say stuff to try to make yourself not feel guilty.
Right.
Then you get upset because what you're saying is something you don't understand. And then you walk away from the situation and say, well, this isn't, I can't do anything here. That's the privilege.
There were a couple light bulb moments, and I'm coming to you, Spools. There were a couple light bulb moments in terms of this conversation that we were having. This was via Facebook. This is not in person. And I told the young lady, you don't inherit racism because you date an African-American man. Mm. It's not like that. It's not like you just, okay, so I'm dating a black guy, so now I'm going to understand what racism is like. Because to Lone's point, and I thought this was the point, if it didn't shut down the post, it got close. Lone says, you can choose to remove yourself from that situation, not date that man, and you're going to be white when you leave. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was a very, very, very great, that's a clear point.
I think also to add to that real quickly is there's a difference between when you say racism, it's very a race and racist.
Yes.
A lot of times white there's folks are confused.
Power is inherent in racism.
Exactly.
Well.
Power.
Yes.
And there's a difference between racial prejudice.
Yes.
And institutional racism.
Yes.
And so when she says this stuff happened to me, yes, that is racial prejudice against you.
Yes.
That's not racism.
That's not racism.
But the institutional racism, when we say racism, that's what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. You don't have that. It's not possible in America for a white person to experience institutional racism. Mm-hmm.
Spools, jump in.
No, I mean, that's it. He hit it. Like, it's not. And that's where the empathy part comes in, man. And that's where the learning, in my opinion, comes in. And that's where, you know, reading some fucking books, dude, and like trying to understand why things are the way they are right now as a white person. That's right. The best thing I can tell people to do or tell, you know what I mean? Like that's, I know would be beneficial for them in understanding
yeah.
things more. Why Colin Kaepernick's taking a knee.
Yeah.
Because it's not just because of the recent police brutality. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's not because of something that just happened.
You know?
Right. Right.
And that's why I try to get people. And it's not a, and I guess this is something that's important for me to say too. This is not a read these books and feel sorry for black people.
Right.
Thing. Mm-mm. That's not the point of all this at all. Mm-hmm. It is just having an empathy and an understanding and having historical fact and things like that to really understand and try to put yourself in someone's shoes. And to me, it's very clear why things are the way they are today. And I think it goes back to how the government or how, I don't know, I mean, I always like blame the government or whatever, but in a large way, how the government handled post-Civil War, post-slavery in America.
Yeah.
That's a lot of it. There were little to no attempts to help assimilate people who were formerly considered property into our society.
Good point.
Whatever other choice there might have been. Here's land.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever the choice might have been.
I mean, I think
there was nothing. There was just nothing at all. It was just okay. Yeah. Well, good luck.
Yeah.
And then laws, I mean, and then legislatively speaking, for another like 100 years, things mm-hmm. still weren't.
Yeah, it was good luck. And then once black people started to, you know, gather and get things on their own, for example, Black Wall Street was a real thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
They did not like that.
No.
That's when.
So they literally burned it all down. Mm-hmm. Banks, yep. Businesses, doctors,
yep.
Thriving, you know, citizens of America.
I read a lot and like watch a lot of informative documentaries. Sarah hates it. It's boring. She'll fall asleep.
Mm.
And I'll just, you know, but it, I think for her, it's different. I mean, she's in a trauma unit all day long. She wants to watch light stuff. So I'm like, no, I'm going to watch this Ken Burns documentary.
Which I can understand. Yeah,
you know, anyway, yeah. But no, man, it's just, sorry, Terry, what were you saying? What were you just saying?
Black Wall Street?
Wall Street, yeah. I mean, just from watching things, like I just found out and was reading about these post-Civil War kind of internment camps for former slaves.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah.
That were Union prisons that were basically mm-hmm. turned into these internment camps that held slaves. I wasn't familiar with that post-slavery
ending
and post-Civil
around,
War.
They found a way yeah. around the law, essentially.
And just the treatment yeah. there. Yes. And another thing, too, I guess the last thing I'll say about it is that white people, what I feel like we can do is the institutional racism that Lone just talked about is work on that. I don't think it's white people's place to tell black people what they need to do and how they need to live lives and how they need to change things. I don't think that's, you know.
Nor,
I don't think it's the right. place of white people to necessarily say that. So when I hear things like, why don't they just... It's just like, no, that's not your place.
You should
that's
protest like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why are you guys complaining about that?
Protest like
that
this.
Isn't that way. Like that is, yeah. That needs to be done from within the black community itself.
And yeah. these are the same people. And somebody had brought this to my attention on Facebook that while the national anthem is playing on TV, you're sitting down at the crib.
Yeah.
Mm.
You're not paying attention.
You
don't give it that much respect to where you're actually standing or even taking your hat off for it. But they're so involved in telling people that play sports, oh, that's not your job to be political. How are you going to tell them what to do with their time? It's the perfect time to be political. You're watching me
yeah.
right now. So why shouldn't I be political? And this is nothing new. I mean, it happened in the Olympics.
Yep.
You know, when was that? The 50s, 60s?
With John Carlos and... I can't remember the other guys. Ah, I feel bad for that. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Though. Yeah.
But this is nothing new.
Iconic.
It's nothing new. But what it is I think the term Make America Great Again is meant to kind of quiet minorities. So if the golden age considered in America is when everything was hunky-dory and Dennis the Menace is on TV and the husband and wife sleep in separate beds and, you know, little dumb shit like that.
Leave It to Beaver.
Yeah. That type stuff.
Yeah.
To where minorities aren't vocal and aren't speaking out.
Yeah.
I mean, it was still going on, but it's to the point now where, I mean, people are tired of it. Tupac talked about it at one point in time when he was like, if you got food in a room,
yep.
and you got a whole bunch of people on the outside, they gonna knock
yep.
to get in, be quiet about it.
Yeah.
Soon it's gonna turn into a chant.
Yep.
Soon it's gonna turn into we coming in, we breaking down the door. Next thing you know, they're in there. They done broke the door down. Now we in here taking people out.
Yeah.
Cause you didn't want to feed us.
Yeah.
I mean, we're to that point now. and people want to keep sweeping it under the rug, and it's just not going to happen. And it doesn't matter what you try to, like, for example, this is somebody that's a Facebook friend of mine. Okay. Their post says, I'll be boycotting pro football like they're boycotting America. I will not support those who do not support America.
This has nothing to nothing. Do with boycotting America.
You know who's losing tremendously in all this, too? And we've talked about it before, but it's about to potentially get even worse, is the NFL.
Yeah.
Because not only now is it that people that were, you know, previously protesting,
like both sides
because
are boycotting.
And now, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's because,
and you know what, man? There's a big,
how,
that target audience for the NFL, the people that want to, you know, that it's that mm-hmm. middle to lower socioeconomic yeah. class white,
hey, man,
white
I,
people,
the
man.
Ignorant, this is how ignorant they are.
This is
so
our
you
country.
Voted, you voted for Trump.
I like that.
You voted for Trump. Trump is a piece of shit.
Yep.
There's no way you can get around it at this point.
At all.
If you still rocking with Trump, fuck you.
Period.
I don't really care what you have to say. If we're friends, unfriend me, move along. I mean, shit, you think differently than I think anyway. So we yeah. have no...
There's nothing to talk about.
There's nothing to talk about.
Yeah.
If you're still to this day rocking with him, like everything that he does, if you're still sharing stuff in support of him, fuck you.
Here's what I'll say really quick, not to interrupt you. But if you're a white person and you have these people on your friends list, don't defriend them. Talk to them. It is our job to have those conversations.
Yeah.
And that's it.
And when you defriend them, you disassociate with those people. They're just going to be one of those people that their entire timeline is everybody that agrees with them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's going to be, to Lone's point, it's going to be a continuous cycle because you didn't take the time.
That's our responsibility.
It's responsibility.
Yeah, me personally, I don't
want to
see it anymore. I'm sick of it.
But it's perfectly fine.
Like, this weekend.
That's kind of where. Yeah.
This weekend with Trump, and then the conversation that we engaged in. Like I said, I'm a conversation person. I think it's healthy because it can either get you to either a resolution or at least put something on your mind to talk about and think about.
Mm-hmm.
And.
But it's not your obligation, though.
It's not my obligation.
You can choose to or however you want.
You have
but,
a choice.
You know,
but for me, I don't mind conversation.
At least in my opinion.
Right. I agree with you. I don't mind conversation, but it
was
just...
I don't mind conversation with somebody that actually can bounce back and kind of see what I'm saying. Even if they're not coming to me in total agreement, there's still something still going off in their head like, oh, okay, I didn't quite see it like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Those conversations are cool, but I'm not trying to have this conversation with people who blatantly just don't want to hear what it's about. Like what I just read to you?
Yeah.
That's stupid.
Yeah.
Like people are literally, there's sites that are like geared toward all of this.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to take over our America and make it like this and... We're going to be the minority. And
we don't entertain that.
Come on,
yeah,
man.
We don't entertain that.
You know good and well that's not the truth.
Yeah.
But that's ironic, ain't it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, now we're going to be the minority.
Yeah.
It just speaks to you already knowing exactly.
Yeah. And that's another
that's,
crazy
that's
thing.
White nationalist
why,
talk, actually.
Why are
it
people,
is.
Why is it so hard, like,
it's the
for people to understand equality?
There's
why don't you want... Someone to be equal to yourself.
You know what it is for a lot of people? For some folks, it's the working aspect of it. Working hard. I work hard for what I've got. Everybody should have to work hard for what they get. And there's like still these like weird...
It's an individual type of swing on things.
Well, and it's like still this weird like this concept, you know, welfare and associating that to black people and to not
and
working.
That's not
and
even
shit
true.
Like that. Exactly, dude.
The numbers
just,
aren't...
That's
it doesn't
so
add
that's
up.
That's so inaccurate.
And that is why I don't...
So
engage in conversation on Facebook with people because stupid shit like that comes up and I just get pissed. I'm just like, man.
Yeah.
They're always mad about.
So, you're right, Sean.
I got blocked over the weekend.
Sean's like his approach. I appreciate. I really do, and I've said that before. Like it takes a lot of patience and a lot of like you know perseverance and shit like that, man. But like
it's a lot of learning. It's a lot, you know.
I like using this podcast to have these discussions.
Mm-hmm.
They can't really say shit about working hard, though, when this country was built on the back of minorities.
Terry,
that's what I'm
that
just,
and 100,
I don't get
and 100 other things are why the whole thing doesn't make a lot of sense. None. To me, but there's a lot of insecurity there, I think, too.
But now you want to get rid of minorities.
You know an approach that I use that's very, very easy? Easy to do. Well, I won't say easy because it ain't easy. We talked about it. I use the 5-why approach.
Yeah.
This is fun to watch.
I just ask questions.
Yeah.
I just say, okay, this is how you feel. Why do you feel that way?
Mm-hmm.
And what you'll find out is that a lot of times you can only get like one or two whys in mm-hmm. before people completely deflect away from the point and can't answer something.
Mm-hmm.
But what that does
like, I don't have time for motherfuckers like that, really.
Well,
like, you need to figure that shit out. If you can't get past two whys in your own brain,
mm-hmm.
that means they've probably never gone that deep themselves on the topic.
Absolutely.
Most of these comments are surface
comments. So making people, like, it's like tilling soil, right? Like, you're making people, like, bringing, hopefully, something good up. You know what I mean? Like,
the only other solution that I can see to that is just to kill motherfuckers. And I'm not really trying to do that, but... and I don't really want them to run around without giving that an attempt. That's just me, though.
Right.
But I do. That's what I've been trying to practice more, as opposed to just being like, "Wow, you're a fucking idiot." Yeah.
That never gets anyone anywhere.
Because that's never going to get anybody anywhere. So I'll ask questions, and I had somebody delete my comment when we were in Chicago, and I was just and I was just like, "Okay, now I'm." So he deleted my comment. I went to message him. I was like, "Da da da da. Why?" Wasn't even like, you know.
I'm going to make you answer me.
Wasn't even gunning for him. Just asking questions. Yeah. And then I was just giving him information. And then he would hit me something with the, you know, one of them stupid rebuttals, you know, that people that aren't very knowledgeable about stuff hit
there's
you
usually,
with.
There's a few. It's usually black-on-black crime.
Yeah, black-on-black crime mm-hmm. or...
welfare, like, you know what I mean, or something along that, or certain social programs.
And it was
or...
disrespecting the military, protest better, da-da-da-da-da. Like, yeah. So,
when it came directly from the military, how many times we have to tell y'all that?
Well,
if anybody is listening to this podcast that isn't of our general demographic and fan base or whatnot, if you just happen to stumble upon this... this has nothing to do with disrespecting the military.
I cannot stress that
enough. It came directly from a military.
So
I cannot stress that enough.
But person. And that's cool. But what I'll say is the people that need to hear that won't be able to hear that because they aren't speaking the same language right now. So even when we sit here and say it's this simple, it's not. You have to break down the barriers of the cognitive dissonance that were built from. I mean, some of these people, if they're, let's say they're 60 years old, they grew up, they went to school, they were taught these things, their parents taught them these things. They think the world is this way.
We talked about that in Chicago.
We did.
There's a certain point where there's a point of no return.
And to break that down, it's not one conversation, it's not five, it's not 10, it's 20. Because once somebody is open enough to answer one why question.
Yep.
Then you got to break down another tiered of like another 20 questions. It's like the Jane Elliott thing, really. You know, like you answer one thing, cool, you got them there. Now you got to answer all these other questions, cool. And before you can go to the next tier, you got to answer all these questions, just so. And then eventually it'll click.
Mm-hmm.
To his point, he talked about the patience. He talked about
I lose mine after a while with conversations like that. I'm just like, look, imagine like for generations of your family was never able to have an education.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But what's that got to do with you now?
You were forced to come over here.
But what's that?
And you were, you know, I mean, imagine that, and imagine the Trump, the impact that's had over for that lasting for 300 years, and then the shitty education and things not being equal, legislatively speaking, for another 100 years, and then like the fallout after that, which was like these, you know, feelings never really changed, but I can't express them the same way I used to, so I'll find other ways to do it, and like.
Yeah,
what do you think that's gonna? What kind of an impact do you think that's gonna have on a certain group of people when looking at things like disproportionate crime rates? Because that's often something that gets thrown out there too.
Yeah,
well, why?
Absolutely.
Why do you think that is? What does crime typically links to poverty? Right?
Links to black on black crime as well. Yeah. You know,
and you just gotta. You're right. You have to kind of break all these things down. And it isn't a because the next one is: am I supposed to just feel sorry for all black people? And da-da-da. I was like, no.
You missed it.
That's not.
You missed it.
Like, that's the cop out.
Yeah, you missed it.
You know what? You know what else I don't like to?
Should I feel I'm supposed to feel guilty? Do you catch that? You catch that one a lot?
At that point,
why am I supposed to feel guilty?
At that point, I know you've missed it.
Missed it. I don't get the am I supposed to feel guilty. I get the swing of well, what's, you know, like, what's that got to do with us? As it's like an individual approach.
That was years ago.
You know, like, and that's when it goes.
That's another one. That lets me know that you've already missed it. Want
to dismiss it.
Or it's the well, everybody has the same opportunities. We're all the same people.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And then you got to break down the difference between wealth privilege versus white privilege, mm-hmm. which you got to explain what white privilege is.
This is the actual. This is the like, actual yeah. thing that he's speaking about. And this is not made up.
What about the Irish?
Doesn't exist.
Yeah, that exactly. One sometimes. What about the Irish?
Yeah. Kind of trying to think of the ones.
Or something that was on the same thread. Well, slavery's happened throughout history, all over the place. Yeah. It's just like
no,
it has
400 years.
nowhere but here has been such an interesting and unique experience during and then after.
Because I want you to get over it, like right now. And what people don't understand is
just like people, we haven't just even like been people out who like Confederate
it.
Statues.
Yeah, we haven't even been out of that time as long as it went on.
Oh, yeah.
Like nowhere near.
So
and
how,
if you want to talk about rights and everything else,
right?
That didn't happen until like the 50s and 60s. Is when that actually started going into play.
1963 or 4 was the Civil Rights Bill.
Okay, so even then, even after that, it still wasn't right.
No.
So what do we have? What, maybe 60 to 70 years possibly?
Right.
That's just
that is supposed to have been correct?
And that's just segregation.
Yeah.
That's just segregation.
That's segregation.
That's not the prison industrial complex.
Exactly.
It's not the Reagan era.
Right.
You know, the war on drugs.
Yeah.
You know, that's...
I think the thing is, at the end
those
of
were the things that came into play after all the legislation had, like
they're replacements.
Absolutely, mm-hmm. yeah.
At the end of the day, there is a huge disconnect
Definitely.
That I actually got a chance to engage in and see up close for the first time. Like, there's a huge disconnect between these two things and these concepts, and there are people that have these things sadly misunderstood. And to Terry's point, we talked about. We kind of talked about it earlier, too. When we talk about how people tend to always tell African-Americans how they should do X, Y, Z. You know what I mean? Or how this person should, you should react to this. Or
I don't think you qualify.
You're not qualified right. to
not,
tell me that.
You're not qualified.
You know what I mean? So the thing is to, and also to pick, to round it all up in terms of giving out information. Lone talked about it's subjective. You have a choice either to engage or not. Spools chooses to give away information or even engage in conversation with us, amongst us, instead of going on Facebook and dealing with the clowns, right? Lone, on the other hand, is another person that might say, hey, I'm going to try to see if I can get a clown as far as I can get them before they bow out. Me, I will pretty much do the same. I'm not going to engage in name calling. I'm not going to engage into cursing you out or anything. It's not that deep. We can have a grown civil conversation and try to get to a conclusion, or at least I can put something on your mind. But it's just crazy that these conversations are starting to frequently pop up more. And that's a sign of where this world is heading. When you have the person that's in the highest office in the land, I don't want to say promoting, but by his actions, pushing his bullshit to the forefront so that we have to have these conversations mm-hmm. over and over and over again.
But
so
is it a good thing?
That's what I was getting to. Maybe this will open conversation, which I'm a proponent of, I think is dope, to get people to actually sit down and try to possibly hear what I was trying to tell that young lady. I wasn't coming at her wrong. I'm just trying to break it down to you so you can actually see where we are coming from before you turn your nose up and play all the cards that Spool's just named.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes the healing process is painful, and I think we're just now, mm-hmm, we're, sure. like because we've never scratched the surface a ton, I don't think, in this country, like we're feeling what we probably should have felt.
How many
like,
years ago?
Like we're feeling it now because we never dealt with it like in 1865.
Mm-hmm. We just covered it up with different things, you know.
And a lot of it is novelty as far as race relations.
Yeah.
You know, because there's some people that have never interacted with another race. And as soon as they do it, they treat it like, oh, I got a toy.
Yep.
Oh, I got a friend. We tell jokes to each other and blah, blah. That's not the same as actually knowing what's going on with them and understanding what's going on.
I think Spools hit the point, I believe it was you, Spools, where you talked about another race actually having being affected by something which may enable them to have some form of empathy or at least be able to kind of understand. If it doesn't affect you, mm-hmm, it's like, well, fuck it, we're just gonna push it to the side.
Yeah, because that's what happens all the time.
Exactly.
You know what else I don't like and don't understand too is I see some people, excuse me, every time something like this happens, as far as when the dialogue is heavy.
Yeah.
They want to, oh, I'm checking off of Facebook because everybody's talking about this, that, and the other.
Yeah.
Why can't we just get along? Why don't people talk about Jesus and God like this? Mm-hmm. That's you pretty much dismissing everything. It's like, no, I'm just going to talk about Jesus and God. And
that's a privilege.
We're going to push this to the side again.
Do you realize what was written in the Bible? Do you realize all those stories? Whether you believe in God or not, or if you're a Christian, Muslim, Jew, whatever, whatever guide that you are following has these type of stories in there.
Sure.
But when it's happening to you in real time, it's too much for you to handle. Mm-hmm. So what does that say about you? You're not really a soldier.
Right.
Technically, because generally if you're in a religion, you're a soldier for God and his cause. So in other words, you don't want to stand up for what's right because it's too much for you.
Yeah.
It's no, we need everything needs to be charm and soft and glittery and Teletubby for me to pay attention to it.
That's not realistic.
It's not realistic.
I will say this. I don't blame people sometimes for feeling that way because Facebook and all this shit, it's fucking, it's a lot sometimes.
It is, but you need to get real. Are you grown or are you a child?
And there are other ways to go about addressing these issues other than with this.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? This helps a lot in today's day and age.
They say that on Facebook, but they mean that in general.
Oh, yeah. Like
right now, you just have something where you can say it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And it's documented. Like, that's how you feel, period.
I'm going to go bury my head in the sand.
Yeah, that's how you feel, period. You don't want to have that discussion ever.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Cowards become very brave. Social media has enabled cowards to become very brave.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
And it's almost like liquid courage. When you know they talk about when you get drunk, the truth comes out.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of truth tellers on Facebook that push a lot of their what they really feel in their soul out because they don't have to be held accountable.
Mm-hmm.
When you say something on Facebook, there's no accountability. I can just say it and log off versus having a conversation and engaging with someone that may hold you accountable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just like the comment section of like these news publications online.
Right, right.
These are teachers and colleagues that you work with that are saying this slanderous bullshit.
These are people that hold power in different various ways.
Yes.
You know, that's...
But that's cool. You don't want to talk about that.
Right.
You just want to shun yourself away from it and just act like it's not happening.
Yeah.
So in other words, it's cool for you to work around whoever as long as you know or as long as you don't know what they really think.
Yeah.
That's backwards as fuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't want to what with you if you're on some bullshit, period.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying?
Shit, no, man. I believe you get your ass kicked saying something like that.
Definitely. Straight up.
I think it's pretty healthy to know, you know, even if you can strip it down to, you know, your friends, your inner circle, people mm-hmm. that you associate with. I would consider you guys my friends if we were together a lot. I think it's pretty healthy to know.
You just consider us your friends.
Come on, man. You messing up a good moment, man.
Hey, man. You guys,
I had to lighten it a little.
I guess maybe
it's a little heavy. You're right. I guess we could do that. You know the hell I meant.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're friends, right? So,
are we?
This is your conscience.
Yeah, I know, right? You can apply this to your life, like in terms of the people that you're around. Like, you want to know what the people that you're around or that you're associated with stand for. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with that. That's actually healthy to me to know that I'm surrounded by people that are like-minded
mm-hmm.
or at least have common sense.
Yeah, because say you have kids.
Right.
You don't want to know what's going on, but you're sending your child to this person's house.
Mm.
You don't know anything about them because you're scared to know about them.
Exactly.
But you're allowing your child to play with their child.
Yep.
Who's to say what they're putting in your child's head when they send them back home to you?
I want
to
know everything.
Exactly.
It's the same concept. It's the exact same concept.
It is.
Yeah, so I don't understand people that just want to close off from that aspect. No, tell me everything.
No. They're sitting there with their fingers in their ear. I don't want to hear, nah. No, it's going on.
Hey.
It's crazy.
If a war jumps off tomorrow, you can't go put your head in the sand and the war is not happening.
You can't.
It's true.
It's going to hit you in your face and you're going to have to accept it, and you're going to have to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Don't wait for the end to talk about it.
I didn't mean to be. I don't mean to like mock people who are super patriotic or in any way, shape, or form, man. Like, I respect veterans and like,
yeah, we get it,
all that good stuff. But that it's interesting and weird to me.
Like, just do it the right way. I mean, because since all of this is coming out, they've read laws and rules that are saying the proper way to display a flag.
Yeah.
There's so many ways that people are practicing displaying their flag that is that's illegal technically.
Is it illegal?
You're not supposed to have plates and cups and stuff with flags on it. It's not supposed to lay flat. It's not supposed to be hung a certain way. Whenever you, like the guy at Gigi's Cupcakes hung his flag wrong and then made a post on Instagram saying American flag something welcome
supporters
here.
Supporters are welcome.
Yeah. Yeah, American flag supporters welcome here.
What a weird device. Just weird. What the fuck, man?
Yeah. Like,
hey, man.
I know people with better cupcakes than Gigi's. Shout out to Butterfly Bakery.
Okay.
She makes very good cupcakes. Her name is Shonda. Yeah. You should look her up on Facebook if you don't want to support Gigi's.
Shonda,
anymore.
I hope you get business off of this. There you go. I'm going to get the information from Terry. I'm going to come check you out.
Cookies flying.
And you know, hey, just a quick point. You know, people take the word ignorance offensive a lot of times.
Yeah.
And I understand that being ignorant is not a cool feeling.
On the surface, it sounds bad. You're ignorant.
You know.
You're ignorant. Yeah. Hey, you're ignorant, spools. You're ignorant.
I always think about, this is totally different. I hate to take it off subject, but there was a South Park episode with Michael Jackson. And he was that's ignorant.
That's so ignorant.
Yeah. Can we record that, by the way?
We'll find that.
Yeah. We can find that.
I want Terry's version. Go ahead. Oh,
but it's one thing just to be ignorant and not understand some stuff, when it's another thing to be ignorant and to bask in it.
Mm.
Yeah.
And that's the part that's offensive to me. Like, it's one thing to just not know and to be ignorant.
Preacher. I sit right
but
there.
When you just say, whatever. I don't validate. I don't care what your experience is as a person.
That part gets to me, too.
It's like, like, if you're ignorant, that's cool. Let's talk and talk it out. Like, we don't have to agree with
you're
everything.
You're not worth
but
me talking to you then, because you don't care about people that much, apparently. Yeah.
So. You know what's crazy? We talk about this as in terms of artists. Mm-hmm. And we talk about this, you know, if you're a producer, you're a rapper, or whomever. And there, to me, there is a direct correlation into what you guys just talked about. You guys always hear me say, sometimes you have to sit back and learn how to shut the hell up and just listen.
Yeah.
There's always somebody that might be able to educate you on something that you think you're well-versed on. But mentally, you have to be able to pull back and say, you know what? I need to shut the hell up. Spools knows 10 times more than I do on this, and he may be able to enlighten me or even make me think about possibly changing my approach if I just shut the hell up and let him talk.
And that's the problem.
I listen to him.
Because people are so ready to say their next point.
Yeah.
Rather than listening to what you just said.
Shots to Fight Club.
Because it can invalidate your point.
Yeah.
From what you may have just said. But you're just regurgitating, and I'm like, well, I just told
it's
you.
It's keeping score sometimes.
But you're so really thirsty to get your – it's what they say is a pissing contest. Okay, you go, I go. You go, I go. You go, I go. What are we learning here?
Yeah.
What ideas are being bounced off each other if it's you go, I go, you go, I go? To me, that's just a contest to see, all right, well, he scored the most, he won. Won what? What did we get out of this?
Mm-hmm. Right.
What was healthy out of this? What made you think differently than when you originally came to this conversation?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's what it's about, man. It's just exercising the mind. And we're not people that are preaching to say that we have all the answers. I'm not saying I'm right. No. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying I'm infallible. I don't have things that are wrong with me. I'm not saying that. But damn, like, you know.
I got some common sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Maybe.
Sense
not
ain't common.
Not according to y'all.
Well,
but
sense ain't common.
My mama say I got it. Y'all say I don't, but she say I got it.
You said a mouthful, sir.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah.
All right.
All right, maybe we should wrap it up now.
Well,
we need to touch on a few more things.
There's a few more things we probably should touch on.
Is this a part two? Am I feeling a part two?
Nah,
I think we're good.
I think we have to address a few things.
We're going to let that thing roll?
Yeah, let's go there. A little bit.
Let's go there.
First thing we should probably talk about, well, we have a couple things.
Okay.
What y'all want to talk about first?
Well, you know, man.
Y'all want to talk about music?
We haven't talked about any music. Let's talk about Rhapsody real quick.
Yeah.
Cool. Man, listen. Cardi B, I'm happy for you.
Hey.
You know what I'm saying?
We'll get to that in a second.
You got your billboard. It's cool. We see you, Spools. There's really no comparison. Female artists, female rappers.
Nah, I'm going to take that away from you. Because Rhapsody is really, you can't really just say female artists.
We talked about that. Rhapsody. Skip that. We're
going to go rappers. Rhapsody is colder than at least right now. Like, 80, are we talking 80, about
85%, 90% of rappers?
Man, she's 90? In that upper 90 tier.
I think she's in the talking for album of the year.
Yeah.
She has, absolutely. I got Kendrick, I got Hove, and I got Rhapsody, not in that order. But the more I listen to this, I'm not an overnight classic guy. I hate that shit.
Nah,
that's not me.
Not going to say that.
But I tell you what, if I continue to listen to this album and continue to get the feeling that I'm getting from this album, she may have the coldest album of the year.
It's very good.
That's a possibility.
And it's not, I hate to toot our horn again on some bringing down the band
toot
shit.
Toot that
though.
Toot that thing up.
Rhapsody Bingo.
Yeah.
You ever seen the picture that's in the headline, the bringing down the band picture where it's like a card and a card and there's like batteries on the table?
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right. If you look on the bottom part of that, there's actually a Rhapsody flyer.
Hey. Mm.
Nice.
And this is 2010.
What year was it?
2010.
It might have been 09. Was it not?
It was 10. It was 10 because it was at A3C.
Okay. Okay.
So we saw her back then.
It's probably about 6 to 8 people right now that were like, damn.
I met her here.
Yeah.
I thought they just got on to her.
Man.
Actually, this might have been 2011, actually.
I was going to say 10, 11-ish.
I think it was 11.
Because
when she
got with Ninth like in 08 or 09.
Yeah, because she was with Ninth when I seen her. So she was with him. It was him. I want to say Danny Brown.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. And I actually had a conversation with her after she got off stage.
She's dope,
I got,
man.
Like, 3 of her albums from her then. Like, because she's been doing this.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go cop Layla's Wisdom.
Shouts to Cooley High.
Yeah. That's the group she was in, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I got to go cop this album, man. Like, I need to go out to the store and this is one that requires me to get a physical copy.
Yeah,
it's
nice.
I have to go get this. She
I wish she was going on tour with Hov.
Man.
I did hear, I think Vic Mensa is going to be his opening act.
Shout out to Vic in the shadow. That's a good look for him.
But Rhapsody deserves to be on this tour.
No question. No question.
Yeah.
And she got the Guru Connect. And Hov messes with her anyway.
Yeah, I mean, she's Rock Nation.
Yeah. Gold Couch.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like it.
It's a good album.
Yeah. Very good.
Spools, I don't know if you put your ears on it yet, but brother.
Not yet. I'm going
to
check it out.
I suggest that you listen to this one.
This is the thing that I like about an MC like Rhapsody, is it doesn't make me, as a male, you know, because sometimes listening to a female artist may not relate to you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? The way she raps in her delivery, her subject matter, it doesn't make me feel uncomfortable in that manner.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
It's a whole conversation in itself when we talk about women and rapping and how women may feel about male rappers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's only a couple that do that for me, though. Like, Rhapsody is one. Lauryn Hill, even though she's a little more...
About Missy.
Yeah, Missy's one, too.
I always like Missy a lot.
But I can't really get into a lot of female rappers.
It's a relation.
Dominique Ruiz, she's dope too.
Yeah, she is dope. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. But no, I think it's more of like a, I hope I'm not like trying to play this off, but like a relating to thing. Like sometimes I just can't relate to.
Yeah.
Because I'm a dude.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if she has songs on there about, you know, love songs, it's gonna be weird to sing along to the verses and stuff, right? You know,
I'm just talking about like sometimes like the vibe or there's a different, you know,
mm-hmm.
like, and then lyrical content to some extent. I mean, I love old soul music and like women soul singers and stuff like that. You
like,
know
even
I mean?
Like a so, Bahamadia. Did y'all ever mess with Bahamadia at all?
A little bit.
200 bucks.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Queen Latifah.
I had to
even
get my Joe button on. Yeah. I apologize.
What about oh man, who was it for?
20 Bonds was cold.
Mm-hmm. Like Jean Grey.
Jean Grey, she's got some dope cuts.
Yeah, she's dope.
Definitely. But like, this Rhapsody album is what the game needs.
She coming at Hov and Kendrick, man. I'm telling you.
So she coming at him?
Yeah, for album of the year, she's coming at him.
Ah, for album of the year.
She's coming at him.
Yes, it's up there.
I can't deny it,
her features is nice. She got Kendrick on that Power joint. She got
Power is tough.
Man.
Shout out to my man Jesse. He's going to hate the, if he's not already hating on the Kendrick verse. He liked Kendrick, but he low-key might not like him.
Oh,
so.
Yeah.
We fight about it all the time.
She got Anderson .Paak on another one of my favorites. Well, Anderson .Paak is on two songs. Yeah. But the first one, I think.
With Moonchild's on it.
Yeah.
Shout out to Moonchild. Hey. I feel like saying that's the homies because we spent so much time with them. Like, I love them. Like, I love Moonchild. Like, they dope.
In the second half of the song, like, she's rapping over her singing. Mm-hmm. What's her name? Anna?
Anna.
Is it?
I think it's Anna because it starts. It is Anna. No, I'm about to look it up, but it is Anna.
It
I
is.
Say it's Anna.
I'm pretty it's sure Anna. It is.
Yeah, right after Mike just called them.
I know, right?
That's you were laughing too hard. I'm sorry. What'd you say?
That is funny, ain't it?
Nothing.
No. What'd you say?
I said it was just right after you just like, they're the homies. They're just like family, man. I just think they're, you know.
But I can't remember their names.
Yeah.
There's always one.
Sorry.
Go ahead, man.
I kind of had to get you. See, you shouldn't have asked.
Why we always go through this, man?
You tell me, man. You tell me the answer.
Not promoting that violence. What did you say, Lone?
She was, Rhapsody was rapping over her.
Schools is crazy. Man.
Rhapsody was rapping over her singing.
Yeah.
Which was kind of cool. She was like low down and it was
good vibe,
just kind of a cool. Yeah.
It's a good vibe. It's a good vibe. I like it. I'm a fan. I am a fan. She's, this is one of those good, we'll call this her official, you know, first release, actual major release. I hope they putting the house behind it, man. Like, I hope you can get it everywhere. I hope she gets the chance to go on a tour. That would have been dope if she went with Hov. But I'm a fan. Like, I'm in. Mm-hmm. I like it.
Yeah, you got to check it out.
I think you'll like it, Spools. Is there anything else we're missing, Lone? I know we're doing a wrap-up. We kind of went over today.
Real quick.
Uh-oh.
I listened to Kevin Gates' new album.
Yeah. Oh.
Good.
I actually kind of like it.
Word?
Yeah. You know, I
fool with Gates.
You know, I sprinkle in. I'm not, and I don't want everybody to get misconstrued. We are called the New Old Heads.
I fool with Kevin Gates.
I mean, we sprinkle in some bullshit here and there. And I'm not calling Kevin Gates out.
No,
of
Kevin
bullshit,
Gates is right? Not bullshit.
I'm
yeah,
just
I like
saying
Kevin Gates. He all right, yeah.
That there, you got to have some candy and some
dude,
dessert
I'm a,
along
dude,
with.
I'm a Pee Wee Longwood fan.
Hey,
you don't have to tell
it
me,
is what
man,
it is.
You know?
Yeah.
Now, I don't want anybody to feel offended that I said bullshit. Cause
yeah,
because that's not what
Pee-wee's
I mean.
Definitely not bullshit.
Kevin Gates' album is
different.
Nice.
Yeah?
It is.
I'm about to check that out.
Real like quick it. As well. Today, well, technically the 22nd, so.
And Rock dropped an album, too.
That's right.
Shout out to Rock. Yep.
And it's good.
Yeah. Yeah. And Jhené Aiko. Yeah. It's like 22 songs deep.
Wow. 20. She's got the double LP World Excited?
I don't know if it's a double
World
LP,
Excited?
It's 22 songs deep.
This week is the 25th anniversary of Stunts, Blunts, and Hip Hop, which is
Diamond D,
a super dope classic album, as well as 25th anniversary of Sho and AG's Runaway Slave.
Dittus. Now we owe.
Another amazing album.
Dittus.
And the 20th anniversary of OC's second album, Jewels.
A whole lot of DITC right there.
Really dope.
20th.
And if you don't know who DITC is, Google them.
We're digging into crates.
Google and gaggle.
And go nuts.
Come on, Mike. You messing up the display over here. Bro.
I'm going to go as far as outside of Wu-Tang Sad. Clan. My favorite hip-hop crew.
Mm-hmm.
Personal favorite, I would say, ever.
Okay.
Outside of Wu-Tang Clan.
Dungeon Family.
It's tough between
I'm
them
biased.
And Duck Down. Between DITC and Duck
I'm
Down.
Biased.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm riding with Dungeon Family.
That's tough.
I'm going to go Wu over Dungeon Family, but
I'm probably going to go Dungeon Family over Wu.
Dungeon Family. What makes Dungeon Family
you
cold?
You know, Futures and Dungeon Family.
I mean, that doesn't count.
Yes, it does.
Yes, it nah, does. Bro. Absolutely.
Yes, that's it
like,
does.
Okay, so that counts. Let's talk about all the Wu affiliates.
Let's talk about.
No.
We don't want to talk about
tattoos,
that.
Though.
Yeah. I bet they do.
First of all,
I bet they definitely do.
No, I'm going back.
They definitely have.
I'm going back to first of all. First of all, you know damn well, Dungeon Family, if you want to talk about what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Big Boy and Dre are probably 85% of what you like from Dungeon Family.
Man, yeah,
you know that.
Yes.
That's not
early,
fair,
bro. Early,
like the cool breeze,
early
breeze.
Goody Mob
and Goody Mob.
Come on now.
Come on.
Oh yeah.
And the first Killer couple
Mike?
Albums. Killer Mike. Well, he's yeah. under he's under the tree.
He's an
under
affiliate.
The tree. Yeah, we talking about Dungeon
okay,
Family.
Okay, so Killer Mike's an affiliate, but Future is a solidified member.
For what we're talking about, you the damn right.
Man. Get out of here.
Killer Mike doesn't have Dungeon Family on his arm.
Get sure out of here. Future don't either.
Yes, he does.
He oh, sure does.
He absolutely does.
Oh, he definitely does.
Does he?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His music doesn't reflect.
Yeah, I got his picture hanging up nothing, in our room. See.
But you know,
I don't know nothing.
Future's even if you look at it from a success standpoint,
Future out here getting that bread.
Future,
getting that
Future bread. Versus yeah. You God, I don't know.
Hey, Future yeah. got some hits. Yeah. Verse, talk about
he
some,
would say You God.
Yeah,
the
why'd
wackest.
You pick You God?
Yeah,
because I, you know, that's it.
Who got more class?
The caliber that you're supposed to.
Who got more class?
Who's the wackest? Who's the wackest in the dungeon? Who's the wackest in the dungeon family?
Outkast. I'm gonna just say Outkast will walk.
Hey, away. I'll say this: the first Cool Breeze album was really dope. Hey,
it was.
Hey, Cool Breeze was cold.
Witch yep. Doctor, yeah, I remember Witch Doctor.
Yeah, coolest actually, shout out to my man Kaz Mehta out in Ohio. He just actually dropped a song with Witch Doctor, man.
Word.
Yeah, I might have to send that your way to.
Hope you watch this episode.
Yeah, check me out.
Check it out.
Check it out.
We got to give a shout out too. I know we got to wrap this up pretty quick, but Cardi B,
yeah,
has the number one song in the country.
Yes. Period.
Right now.
Yes.
The first hip hop, or is it overall?
Rap, first rap, female rap record.
Female rapper in 20 years since Lauryn Hill.
Doo Wop.
Very different dynamic.
Music
compared to Doo Wop.
Music has
it. Everybody's girl wants Louboutins for Christmas this year.
Hey man, listen.
These is bloody shit.
Hey.
No, man.
No, man.
Listen, man. Here's my stance with Cardi B.
Congrats to her for sure, no doubt.
That's straight dope. Up. That to me, that's iconic. That's legendary. Nobody'll be able to take that away from her.
Iconic.
I don't know what the hell she be saying. I sometimes don't.
She's
understand.
Funny. I think she can be a comedian.
She's
too.
She's got a very
key.
Bubbly personality. I think she that draws people in.
She was funny on the kind of well, not funny on the MTV Music Awards, but she was.
I don't want
to. She's bubbly. Animated. Yeah.
I don't want to hear a full album. I probably wouldn't be able to stomach that. But this hit, hey.
Yeah, she already got like two or three mixtapes.
Oh, I don't want to listen to those. I'm just saying. For the
I've listened to like one of them.
You liked it?
It wasn't terrible.
Mike's waiting for that Black China mixtape to drop.
Mm, that's what I'm talking about.
Nah, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
Nah.
You know,
bruh.
You know I'm the old man. Bro. I'm the old man with the walking stick when I start telling people hip hop is becoming a fad.
Yeah, that's going to be a no from me, dog.
Yeah. She says she already turned down rap deals, but I'm the old man with the walking stick. Mm. It's happening. Y'all going to give me my props, damn it. I predicted this. My third eye seen it coming.
Before it happened.
I mean, that's the thing. Once, and I'm not taking anything away from any young ladies that's out there stripping, getting their paper. But once they move from stripping to the celebrity,
yeah,
then they become, or sometimes they just go right into hip hop. Like Eve was one of those,
yeah.
But I mean, that's just what it is.
What stage happens? What stage happens when they don't have a hit record?
They busting it wide open on Instagram or on a premium Snapchat.
We see longevity, DJ J Diff. DJ Spools, I am Major 7th. Make sure you go there. BringingDownTheBand.com. We got interviews. We got our Patreon. We got everything. New beat by Longevity 2BC. This is going to conclude episode 48. Please subscribe. We got plenty of stuff. Tons of good things to come. New interviews are going to be coming up. Good hopefully. Things. Good
click
things.
Click on the video to do it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, can we get that before we leave?
Do it. You scrolled on this video to do it.
There you go.
You know what to do. We'll see y'all next week. Peace.
Peace.
Salutations.